But what a powerful time of worship. What a powerful testimony Jen sharing with us. God is good, and it's all falling in line. You just love when the Holy Spirit just orders the steps, right? That's what is so beautiful about Influence Church, even as Pastor Phil gets up here and shares. It's always ordered by the Spirit, and it's like the message was already preached, but God has given me a few things to share with you. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58, I'm going to read those as we get launched into this. The title that God has laid on my heart was Eyes on the Prize. Eyes on the Prize. And there were three groups of people that as I was praying that he really laid on my heart. Okay, there's three groups of people. Those are going to be our three main points as we're going to get it. I'm not going to give you those yet. You've had enough little carrot to dangle in front of your nose for a little bit. You're going to have to hold on for those. But eyes on the prize. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this moment that you've given us, God, in time. You are the God who lives and resides outside of eternity. Are you outside of time in eternity? And we thank you that you have given us this moment. As David said, Lord, teach us to number our days. And God, we thank you that your word is alive. Your word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. And your word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. God, this word. God, would you take it and apply it to our lives? Would you give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us today? Would you give us a heart to receive it, that, Lord, it would become our actions, that it would become the things that we do and live out, God? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I know we're an hour later than what we normally are. The restaurants will still be serving lunch, and your stomach will last. If you get that hungry, ask for more of Jesus. We just came out of a fast, right? All right. Verse 50. Here we go. And now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
At a moment, at a twinkling of an eye. It sounds like something your grandmother would say, right? Oh, you're just a twinkle in the eye. I don't know, that's what I thought of. That's my grandma. That was my best grandmother's voice. 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on the immortality, so that when this corruption has been put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall all be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Come on, were we singing about that just a few minutes ago? Death is swallowed up in victory, the victory that is through Christ Jesus and the cross. Oh, sting of death. Or the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Somebody say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who has given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A powerful few scriptures. There's a lot that we could dig into in this, but for just a few minutes, I was reading a devotional earlier, and it quoted the commentary of John Wesley, and it said, and cannot this same power, I talked about it earlier, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, cannot this same power, the resurrection power in this moment, can it not be this promise of resurrection power that should determine how we spend our lives, our money, and our energy? That resurrection power, that in that moment, when the Father, because even when they ask Jesus, when is the Father going to come? Only the Father knows that moment. And you think of all of the different times that we've seen scripture of a sounding of a trumpet, right?
Yeah.
The trumpets would be sounded when the Old Testament feasts were being called into commission, when they were calling and making a sound that the feasts were starting, the Feast of Tabernacles and all these different feasts. So the sound of trumpet was important. When John was standing in the presence of Almighty God in the throne room, and he said he turned to see the one who had been slain, Jesus Christ, and it sounded like what? A trumpet. And in the twinkling of an eye and in a moment, that trumpet's going to be sounded and we're all going to be changed.
Amen.
All changed. And John Wesley was writing in his commentary and he said, why can't that power that's going to change us in that moment be the power that governs and guides our life every second of the day? He said, in that moment, we're going to be changed into the saints. And you know, you may have come from a different background, maybe Catholicism, where they have saint this and saint that. But we are all the saints who are called according to Jesus Christ, right? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, and you may say, well, I'm not that person. You don't know what I've done. Listen, this whole book is full of people who were jacked up, messed up, and God called out of it, right? You're not done yet. You're still breathing. Last time I checked, everybody in here has a pulse. If the person beside you doesn't, nudge them, pray for them. But we're not done yet. And I want you today, as we get into this message, really what I hear is in John 15, where Jesus said, I have chosen you, right? There was a choice that was made on your behalf that was aside from your choice. God chose you before you were able to choose him. And then what happens is in that revelation that God gives you the grace to aha moment, you were able to say, wait, God, I'm messed up. I've tried this long enough that I know that my ways have failed. My ways aren't getting it done. God, I need you. Amen. And that's what makes us chosen by God. That's what makes us saints. And John Wesley was saying, should not this moment when he's actually going to come back for his bride, right? Jesus is coming again. There's a day that is on the calendar that only the Father knows that Jesus is coming again for his bride that's made ready. And what our job is right now, the saints, the chosen, the child of God, the disciple, the follower of Jesus Christ, is to get ready for that day. And to help sound the call to all who will have ear to hear, he's coming, get ready. He's coming, get ready. Amen. Right? With our eyes on the prize. He's coming. And he said when he was coming, is he going to find anybody watching? Is he going to find anybody in faith? Is he going to find anybody ready? God, help us that we're those ones. And I believe that we are. What God has been doing at Influence Church and the preparation that he's been making, I thank God for. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for what he's doing in our midst. We've been seeing amazing things in our men's ministry, amazing things in our women's ministry, amazing things in our youth ministry, amazing things in our kids' ministry. Come on, God is up to getting his bride ready. I don't want to get too far off of this, but could you imagine going to a wedding and seeing the bride and groom come out in their PJs? The groom not ready, the bride not ready. Come on, Jesus Christ is ready and he's coming for a bride who is ready, amen? Amen? That's you and that's me. All right, a twinkle of an eye, I just kind of want to give you this little tidbit from this verse, a twinkling of an eye. That's 1/1,000,000th of a second. It's believed that it's the space that the light goes from the outside of your eye to the back so that it can reflect and return again. The twinkle of an eye is that fast. And I used to think, you've probably heard me say this before, but I used to think when I was, you know, a younger Christian and growing up in a church and trying to deal with the flesh stuff, I was like, well, I'll get this figured out. When I hear that trumpet sound, like, I'm going to get my life ready. He said a twinkle of an eye, 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. You don't have time to get nothing ready. Boom, you're in the presence of God. And then that which was in part now becomes fully known. All those questions that you wanted God to answer now flood your mind. Maybe some of us have shaken our fists. God, why is it this way? And all of a sudden you understand the answers. Okay, we'll keep preaching on that, but that's not my sermon. We must live with our eyes on the prize. Somebody say eyes on the prize. So what is the prize? Jesus, right? Somebody say Jesus. Jesus is the prize. When you're, well, I already got Jesus in my heart. I already got Jesus in my life. Yes, that's part of it, but it's not all of it. And Jesus actually said, when you do ministry, he was telling them in the book of Acts that when you do ministry, you're to do it unto me. You're to be witnesses unto me. There's only one that we do all unto. I remember we were praying the other morning and it was like the Holy Spirit as I was praying and Jeff heard me and he repeated it. But I prayed, Lord, that we would be more desperate for you than the next breath of air we need. I came off the stage and Jeff is like, that's pretty desperate. Come on, what are we desperate for? You think of the things that you've been desperate for in your life. Maybe it was the job, maybe it was the car, maybe it was the girl, maybe it was the guy, maybe it was whatever, fill in the blank, but we've got to be more desperate for Jesus Christ than anything. Jen was even talking about it. When we seek him first, everything else is added. What do you need? He's the prize. He's the prize. And I remember we interviewed Derek, the football player. He played for the Saints. He was the first person who, or not the Saints, he played for the Seahawks. We interviewed him at our summer camp for our kids. He was the first deaf person to play football. Not deaf person. He was deaf. He couldn't hear. And he didn't just like snap the ball when somebody nudged him. He was a running back. He was a fullback. He had to hear cadences and everything. And this guy won the Super Bowl. And he said at the end of it, he's like, I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. He thought he got the prize. He thought he got the prize. What is the prize? It's Jesus Christ, okay? So how do we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ? How do we win the prize? We live in a world that's fallen. We live in a world that has temptations. We live in Orange County. I mean, when I lived in the country, I thought it was hard. But you live in Orange County, there's like, I mean, we got the mountains to go to for snow. We got the beach to go to for sun. We got the malls. We got the Disneyland. What do we not have? We got the best food. For those foodies who are out there with me, I thank God we live in Orange County. I thank God that he's moving here. Like Pastor Phil said last week, there is no other place that there have been more revivals than here, than here, than here, than here. Do you know why? God is looking for a group of people who will rise up above the challenges and tribulations, put them aside and say, God, here am I. God, here am I. Send me. God, here am I. Lord, use me in the midst of all that's going on, and the power of God falls. And I believe that something's brewing. I was talking to a ministry this last week, and they said, we're baptizing California. Forget OC. We want to baptize California. Come on. Let's set our sights on what God's got, the prize. What is the prize? It's Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? Of course, we follow the pattern that Jesus Christ has given us. Oh! Why would we try to do it any other way? Don't walk like Nate. Don't walk like Jesus. All right? How do we stay on course? How do we persevere? How do we, in the midst of what's going on, sacrifice? How do we live selflessly? How do we serve? Well, 1 Corinthians helps us as we get towards the end. But I want the three people that God had really laid on my heart was there's a group that's focused on the wrong prize. There's a group that's focused on the wrong prize. I'm going to give you these so you can like type them down on your phone or write them down in your notepad. There is a group that is focused on the prize, but they're stuck. They're stuck. And then there's a last group that is moving forward toward the prize. And wherever we're at today, wherever you find yourself, my prayer is that the barometer moves one gauge towards hotter, one step closer towards God. The degree is changed on course for God. Amen? Amen? That's the prayer for today. So the first group is focused on the wrong prize. Have you ever been like cheated by a prize you thought you deserved? You know, it was like all blown up to be something and it really wasn't that. I think of Chuck E. Cheese. Our Chuck E. Cheese days are numbered in Jesus' name. Our kids are a little bit beyond the Chuck E. Cheese days. But I remember we would go in there and of course drop like $40. And of course I'm eating macaroni and cheese so my kids can have a minute of, yay, Dad, we're having fun. But I'm like doing the math. I'm thinking $40 and like a hand of cheap candy, right? $40 and like some plastic, like you push them down and the frog jumps. $40 and a thing breaks by the time you get out the door. Like the prize was cheap. The price was expensive. It's sin. It's sin in our lives. The price is expensive. The payout is miserable. We've all been there. We've all been there. We've been born into it. There's a flesh nature in us that still hungers for those things. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world. And I want you to see this. The first thing you need to do, if you're in this group of people, we need to get going in the right direction. Get out from under the curse. Galatians 3:24, it says that the law was the schoolmaster to bring us out of sin. The law, the Ten Commandments, the thing that would in the Old Testament was kind of like put up in front of them. And it was like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And everybody's like, oh my goodness, I've already done that. Like Pastor Phil said, he was reading the Bible in a college dorm, and he's like, I've done everything this thing's told me not to do, right? We've all been there. And if you fail at one part, you fail at the whole thing. I remember the first time I took my driver's test. Failed. I thought I was gonna get to drive. I walked out of there a failure. Because why? I failed to answer the questions correctly. And they didn't give me a 70% and allow me to go out and drive 70% of my car. I'm missing a wheel. Gonna make it work. Right? I failed the whole thing. Well, Paul was saying to the Galatians that if you're under the law, you're under the curse. And the law is the teacher that says, you got to take the test again. Study more till you pass. But we know that through Jesus Christ, that's been lifted off of our lives. We're not under the curse anymore. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you know what happens? You're justified. Just as if the failure never happened. Come on, is anybody in this room justified this morning? Anybody online justified this morning? Just as if it never happened, right? Like I said, when you're sitting in here, this whole book is full of people who needed the justification of Jesus Christ. Past, present, and future. Amen? If you're a person that is focused on the wrong prize, first thing, get out from under the curse. And the second thing, doing that is repent and be born again. Repent means to what? Turn from. You're going in the wrong direction. I'm trying to do this in my own might. I'm trying to do this in my own strength. It's not working. I keep giving into this thing. I keep giving into that thing. I keep making the wrong choices. The Bible says, repent. Awareness that you're doing it wrong. God, I need you. Repent and turn in the other direction. Turn from the wrong things to the right things. That's what repent means. And in John 3:3, Jesus answered when he was asked about what it took to inherit the kingdom of God. He told Nicodemus that you needed to be born again. Somebody say born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And greater, it's greater than seeing the miracles, because when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, I know that you must be a rabbi. You must be a teacher that's sent from God because we've seen the miracles. Guess what? You may be in this room and you've even seen miracles and you're not born again yet. Miracles are great, but the greatest miracle of all is that salvation comes unto you, right? It says that all authority has been given unto us. He saw the demons flee, Satan fall from heaven and like lightning. And he said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subjected unto you, but rejoice for your name is what? Written in heaven. You're born again. You're a citizen of heaven. Salvation has come unto you. Amen. Repent, turn from the wrong, going in the wrong and get in the right, justified through Jesus Christ, just as if it hasn't happened. And you know what God does? He takes it and he throws it into the sea. That's what it's compared to. When you repent, when you ask God for forgiveness, when you turn from that thing and you go towards God, God said, what'd you do wrong? All I see is the cross of Jesus Christ. All I see is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. All I see is what my son, the price that he paid for you, right? Jesus Christ is the prize. He's the prize. I come to church though, Pastor. Right? The place doesn't change us. It's his presence that changes us. This is important. But when Jesus Christ comes again, he's not coming for buildings. I thank God for buildings. I thank God how he's blessed, influenced church with buildings. They are important. When things like COVID happen and we own the building, we can make the decisions what we want to do. So they're important, but that's not what he's coming for. He is coming for you and I made ready in Jesus Christ by resurrection power. I come here and I feel his presence, but it's his presence that changes me. When you wake up in the morning and you turn your Bible and you ask Holy Spirit to inspire you as you read it, his presence changes you. Before you go to bed, if that's you, can I tell you that the Hebrew morning is after the sun sets. So don't think that you're not seeking him first. If you're the person that I can't keep my eyes open in the morning, I need to do it at night. Well, then that's okay. It works that way too. He's got you covered. You're seeking him first and his presence changes you wherever you are and you call on him. Amen? Yes. That's enough of that. I think you're out of that, going after the wrong prize. Let's focus on the prize. You're focused on the prize, but you're stuck. This group of people, I think of in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. He went out and he sowed seed. And there were those seeds that they grew up. But all of a sudden, the cares and the distractions and the worries of this life did what? Sucked the life out of them. Took the fruit, robbed them of their fruit, right? Can I just challenge you with one thing? Who wants to, at the sound of that trumpet, all of the fruit that could have been manifested in your life to be sucked from you? All of the things, listen, you can't do anything to make God love you more. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You cannot do anything to make God love you more. He has unconditionally loved you, expected nothing in return. But from that point forward, we're to bear fruit of living a Christ-like life. And time after time, we read in the Bible and you see where people's reward was taken from them. God, that you would find your bride made ready and that the reward, the prize would be with you. Amen? You're focused, but you're stuck in a rut. When you are stuck, you need someone's help. Have you ever been stuck? Have you ever been stuck? When we were kids, we rode ATVs. This is one of the things we did in the country, right? As fast as we could get them going. And my dad didn't know anything about this. Sorry, Dad. Forgive me. We had the old ones with like no suspension. Some of you that ride, Cody, you can sympathize with me. Like, talk about sin's a bumpy road. An ATV with no suspension's a bumpy road. We would ride these things as fast as we could ride them through mud puddles. And the goal was to try to talk your buddies, my brother and my friend that I grew up with, to get them to drive through the deepest part so they would get stuck. And they would be like up to their fenders in mud. And then you would ride by like the kind of shallow part you knew you wouldn't get stuck in and just like cover them in mud. And they would be like, ah, they're covered in mud. And then you'd be like, oh, we got to dig this guy out now. We're all going to get muddy. But that was, you know what the world wants to do? The world wants to see you get stuck and just throw mud on you. But when you've got brothers and sisters around you, when you've got the Holy Spirit, when you've got the Word of God, when you're stuck, you've got somebody to help you. Come on, we've been seeing this. This is growing in our midst. When you get yourself around a community of people, when you get yourself around the church, working and moving in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, when you get stuck, they're there to help you get out of that mess. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. When you get stuck, you need somebody to help you. Have you ever been stuck and no one has come to help you? I've been there. I want to challenge this with this as I wrote this down. Have you ever been stuck in a situation where there was nobody there to help you? And I really feel the answer that as I was praying over this was because you've never sown. You've never sown. In the kingdom of God, there's this law that if you sow, what happens? You reap. If you sow, you reap. If you're like, well, I don't hear God's voice, then start sowing his word into your life. You'll reap it when you get stuck. If you are in a season where you know that, hey, everything's going great, start sowing into somebody else's life, because there's going to be a time that comes along where maybe the harvest is a little thin and you need somebody to help you. When you sow, what happens? You reap. That's why we need the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And we have opportunities to serve one another. When you come on Sundays, keep your ears attuned to what need may be around you. Right? Sometimes you think, why do they make us say hi to each other? Because when you start to even just do that, there's a familiarity that starts to happen. And when you're leaving, you just, oh my goodness, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you this. My brother just gave me, he's like, I need to tell you this. Right? We need to be aware of what's going on in our midst and what each other's needs are. You're focused, but you're stuck in a rut. How do I get out of this? Be led by the Spirit. I want you to hear this. Galatians says that when there are a list of things in Galatians, go home and read it, Galatians chapter 4, the things that we do in our flesh. It's a pretty bad list. I failed at pretty much all of it, okay? That's when I'm in my flesh. When you're in the Spirit, the Bible says in Galatians that you don't fulfill the desires of your flesh. Has that been an aha moment for anybody else? Stop trying to fight, walk in the Spirit, right? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. Put on the spiritual armor every day and you'll be prepared to go into battle. Amen? Because my flesh, I'm still in this thing. Jesus Christ hasn't come yet. We live in a fallen world and there's temptation. And we have flesh and it tries to resurrect itself from time to time, right? But we walk in resurrection power. And if I walk being led by the Spirit, I'm not falling into my flesh crap. Sorry, but not sorry. Because that's what it is. It's the wrong prize. Hebrews says, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight and sin that easily ensnares us. Have you ever seen a runner run a marathon? That's beyond me. I like to run. I remember when I would go out for a morning jog, I didn't even want to take my phone with me. Because when you run, you don't have anything with you. You don't run with a little red wagon dragging behind you. The people that are running the marathons, they don't even have water. They're not running with anything. The Bible says, lay aside everything that weighs you down and keeps you from performing in the way that God would want you to do it. Everything that doesn't bear fruit is the thing that's those little weights that try to hold you back. The things in your life that are saying, it's not bearing fruit for God, cut it off. I was gonna say something else, but that was back in point number one, and we don't have time to go back. You can ask me afterward. The weight that you need to lay aside are the things not producing fruit. The sin that you need to lay aside is the thing, the Bible said sin is unbelief. Sin, that word means to miss the mark. There are sins in your life you need to lay aside. They're keeping you back. They're keeping you back. Sin is not, remember those little candles they put on the table at like fancy banquets? And they're only good for 45 minutes or whatever, right? Sin's not that. Like, oh, the thing's gonna burn out. It's gonna... Sin is a wick of an inch wick that's tied to a keg of dynamite. It's a different picture, right? This wick burns out, nothing. This wick burns out, it all goes boom. That's what sin does in your life. We've gotta lay it aside. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. The last point. Those who are moving forward for the prize. This is the group we all want to move into, closer to. We're moving toward the prize with efficiency. We're moving towards the prize in the way that such that God would have us. Running the race of faith toward him. Have you ever been rewarded for something that you didn't deserve? Have you ever been on that end? I talked about cheap prizes earlier, but have you ever got something that you didn't deserve? We all have. Salvation is something that we didn't deserve. Jesus took our spot so that we could take his. We didn't deserve that. But God loved you enough to vacate heaven so that you could have a place in heaven, right? We didn't deserve that prize. I remember when we were called, Eric and I, to pastor here as lead pastors. And I had no idea what this meant. I didn't deserve that call. But it was a call that God truly opened a door for us. And as we stepped into that, I didn't have any qualifications to, we were children's pastors. We'd done children's ministry for six, almost 7 years. We didn't deserve what God had opened up to us. And to be here with you beautiful people has been amazing. Have you ever received something that you didn't deserve? 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27. Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but there is one who receives a prize, right? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Not for the temporal things, because the prize that Paul was talking about was the Olympics in Athens. And these runners would run and they would do it for a crown of like olive leaves. That was temporal, right? Have you ever put flowers in your house? And what do they do after a few days? Paul's like, they're running and competing in such a way just for this like olive branch leafy thing. And it's temporal. And all the people will come out and watch these runners run. But you run for an imperishable or an eternal reward. And then Paul went on to this, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself may be disqualified. Paul said, I buffet my flesh. I buffet my flesh. If you're gonna run in such a way for the prize, you think of those athletes that go out and they compete in the Olympics. They're not eating Chick-fil-A on Sunday, of course. They're eating a strict diet. They're competing in such a way to win the prize. It changes their way that their life is, the lifestyle that they live. Paul said, I have made changes to my lifestyle in such a way that it disciplines my flesh. Why do we fast? Why does fasting have to do with food? Because there are times when you need to discipline this flesh. This flesh can be strong. And the thing is, as Hebrews says, that we have a great high priest that has gone before us and is able to sympathize through whatever we go through. Jesus Christ has gone before us and he's made a way. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. But yet at the same time, he is all God. He was limited to the things that you and I are limited to in our humanness, in our human part of us, right? He was limited to the things that we are. So let us run in such a way. Hebrews 12 says, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who's doing it in you? Is it you in your own strength? No, it's Jesus Christ who's doing it in you. That's the picture of the bride of Christ, right? If my head goes to the left, where's the rest of my body going? To the left. where Jesus Christ is, we become an extension of that. And it's his faith. Galatians 2:20 says, yet I live not I, but the faith of Jesus Christ. It's his faith. When you impute your faith into him, you have enough faith to drive yourself here to church in a car that you turned it over and it started, right? You have enough faith that you put the seatbelt on, that if something bad went wrong, this seatbelt would keep you safe. You have enough faith that when you ate the food this morning that gave you the energy to get here, that it didn't make you sick. We have faith. And when we impute that into Jesus Christ, there's something that happens. There's a supernatural transaction that his faith becomes active in you. And it's the faith of Christ. And he is the author and the perfecter. He wants you to acquire the prize. He wants you to, we got AI now, writing everything for us because it's hard to author things. It's hard to write things, but God is writing a God story in you. He is the hand that wants to hit the page of your life and write his faith story. I think of Jen and the challenges. I think of the people that have gone through challenges. I think of the challenges even in our own life. And when we hold on to the one who is faithful, he's writing his story. And you're gonna see the resurrection power. You're gonna see the resurrection power. You're gonna see lost loved ones come back. When you don't give up, when you hold on, when you keep your eyes fixed on the prize. Hebrews chapter 11 is a whole chapter full of people that are called heroes of faith. Messed up, made mistakes, but never gave up. And at the end of it, it says that some even kept their eyes fixed and they never fully acquired it. But what they left was for something that somebody else could pick up and run with it. Come on. Would you believe the God story for your life enough that if you didn't see it come into its full fruition, you would still live it out because you knew that he was doing something greater in you? Did you hear me? God's writing a story in your life. And even if you can't fully understand, that's okay. Placing your faith in him is a lot better than placing it in something else. I came across this saying as we get ready to close. And I want to close as you think about, before I say this saying, I want to close with verses 57 and 58, if you've got your finger still in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Did you think of that? Think of that player, Derek, that won the Super Bowl. Could you imagine if I just showed up and got a ring and I didn't compete? That's what God has done in a sense. You get something that you don't deserve. Thank God that our victory comes through Christ Jesus. Therefore, my brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. It is in the Lord. Amen. I want to close with this story that I came across. My dad actually sent it to me. It's from Dr. Bob Moorhead. And it says, I am part of a fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down. I won't back down. And I will not be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished with and done with low living, sight walking, plain, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I will no longer need preeminence. I won't need prosperity. I won't need position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be on the top. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by his presence. I'm led by love, loved by patience, live by prayer, and labor by his power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide, the Holy Spirit, is reliable. My vision is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, delayed anymore. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity anymore, nor will I meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't slow down until I've preached up, paid up, prayed up, stored up, and set up for what the cause of Jesus Christ is. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, and preach till I know. And when Jesus Christ comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. He will have no problem recognizing we in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. We must keep our eyes on the prize. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus Christ, living. Is he alive in you today? Is he alive in you today? Just in these last minutes, as God's been stirring in our midst. Maybe you've found yourself as that first group. You were focused on the wrong prize. Jesus Christ is in this room today to save. We were singing about it early. Matt said it. The cross is empty. The tombstone rolled away. The disciples are getting ready because he is coming again. And if you would want to say, Pastor, that's me. I think I've been focused on the wrong prize. I'm not the one who saves you. It's Jesus Christ who saves. And the way that he saves is by forgiveness and repentance. When we turn from ourselves, when we turn from going in the wrong direction and we turn toward God. And the Bible says when you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, it's at that moment that your name is written in heaven. And if there is one, if there is 100, if there is 1,000 that would say, I want to make my life right with Jesus Christ today, I've realized that he loves me and he wants me to be a part of his family. He wants me focused on him as the prize, nothing else. Can I tell you, you've tried to make your marriage work, you've tried to make your family work, you've tried to make your business work, you've tried. But when you prioritize him as number one, everything else fades away. And if that's you, you would say, Pastor, would you pray with me? Because it's faith. The Bible says when two or three are gathered together in his name touching anything, it's just faith aligned. And when we put our faith in him, something supernatural happens in your life and you are born again. And if you say, Pastor, would you pray with me? I want you just to lift your hand up, unashamed. He went to the cross for you, unashamed. He didn't say, well, I'm just gonna get part of me. I'm gonna kind of hide back here in a corner. He said, no, I am gonna do it unashamed. It was despised. The cross was despised. The cross is foolishness. But to those who are being saved, it is our hope, amen? I saw you with your hands up. Can we just pray with all of our brothers and sisters that just raised their hands this morning? And right now, make this your prayer. And God is writing your name in heaven. And I want you to pray this with everything that's in you, turning from, asking him to forgive you of the things that you've seen. God, just I repent and I go towards you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we align our faith with those today that have said, Jesus, would you save me? Forgive me. Lord, we thank you that you've sent your son. We thank you that you've saved us so that our eyes can be fixed on the prize. Lord Jesus, we give you our lives today afresh and anew. Lord, I thank you for writing those down in heaven that have raised their hand today. All of heaven rejoices with them, God, in the choice to live for you because of your choice for them first, because you so greatly loved. And in Jesus' name, can we just rejoice with all of those today who have raised their hands? And I want to encourage you, if that was you today, I want you to turn to somebody that's beside you and say, God's done something in my life today. I'm not the same. And I want you to stop by the tent on the way out. And I want you to make sure you see Pastor Julie. We want to help you on your journey, but we're going to sing. We're going to sing some songs. And if that's you, if you found yourself in group number two, like I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. Listen, when we're worshiping here in these last minutes, worship your way out of that stuff. When you focus on him, worshiping him, the problem gets smaller, the rut gets unstuck, something changes in your life. And if that's you, if you've got your eyes on the prize, worship, right? We have so much to be grateful for. Well, let's lift our voices and worship together. We love you, Influence Church. Let's sing it.